on the very first day, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that it was released to the public, I made sure I obtained a copy, and I'm referring to the book Juan Ponce Enrile, a memoir. Well, a man who has been in the center of some of the most dramatic events in our national history must have quite a story to tell. Next only to Marcos and Imelda in power, Enrile was in the center of it all. Martial law, Aquino assassination, the EDSA revolt which toppled Marcos, and just recently the Corona impeachment trial, and is still going at it at 88. And indeed, the book is full of juicy tales that can only come from the ultimate insider of government. But I was impressed most by his conclusion. After more than 700 pages of dramatic accounts, he said, "Many have judged and condemned me, but I fear only the ultimate judgment of God and of history." Well, I cannot speak for the sincerity of the man, but this is something that Christians should be able to profess with conviction. I only fear God ultimately. Dapat masabi ito ng tunay na Kristiyano na ang kanyang talagang meron siyang takot kahit ng higit sa kanino pa man ay may takot siya sa Diyos. At kung ito ay totoo, isang ebidensya na talagang may takot tayo sa Diyos ay sa ebidensya ng pananalangin. We believe with conviction that our God is a prayer-hearing God. And if that is so, we should esteem prayer highly. And esteeming prayer highly is not demonstrated by talking about how important it is to pray. Really esteeming prayer highly is demonstrated by praying. Pwede tayong magsalita kung gaano kahalaga sa atin ang panalangin, ngunit ang talagang ebidensya na pinapahalagahan natin ang panalangin ay yung tayo'y talagang nananalangin. And we should find this natural. And esteeming prayer highly also means that we will be seeking the prayers of the brethren on our behalf. We should find it natural and even necessary to seek the prayers of brethren. This is the spirit that I want us to cultivate through this brief series which we started last week. And I will continue now with verses 1 to 4 of 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command." Now, as I explained last week, the church in Thessalonica is going through a serious doctrinal problem that led Paul to write no less than 2 letters to the church. Ang problema nila ay may pagkalito sila sa usapin ng muling pagparito ng Panginoon. Doon sa unang sulat ay ina-address ni Apostol Pablo yung problema ng pag-aakala nilang malapit ng dumating ang Panginoon. Mangyayari ito sa kanilang buhay, at ang naging resulta ay iniiwanan nila yung kanilang mga dapat gawin. Iniiwanan nila yung kanilang mga trabaho. At ito ay iwinasto ni Apostol Pablo, subalit sa halip na maiwasto, lumala pa. Nung kanyang isulat ng 2 sulat, the 2nd letter to the Thessalonians, the problem has compounded. It has worsened. This time, the Thessalonian church was entertaining the idea that Christ has already come, albeit in a spiritual way, pero ang kanilang kalituhan ngayon ay nangyari na, naganap na, at ito rin ang iwinawasto ni Apostol Pablo sa kanyang 2 sulat. And as I said, I'm not going to deal with that issue, but rather that background makes all the more impressive what Paul does in our passage. If this is the church, a problematic church in terms of doctrine, and Paul was an apostle who could rest assured of the blessing of God upon his ministry, yet you find Apostle Paul pleading to the church, "Pray for us." He has no problem with the fact that they have a doctrinal issue in asking to pray for the Apostle Paul. At dito makikita natin yung pagpapahalaga ni Pablo sa panalangin ng mga banal, panalangin ng kapatiran. At kung tutularan natin siya, we too must value and seek the prayers of brethren on our behalf. Now, Paul goes on to the specific matter for his prayer request. And the first thing in his mind is for the word. And we will try to deal with this in two messages because that reflects the two concerns of the apostle in his prayer request. Verses 1 and 2 pertain to the word's missionary expansion, while verses 3 and 4 pertain to the word's personal application. So for today, we will address the first concern of the Apostle Paul, the missionary expansion of the word, and this is my message. Prayer is an essential key to the missionary expansion of the gospel word. Prayer is an essential key to the missionary expansion of the gospel word. Ang panalangin ay mahalagang susi sa pagsusulong ng misyon ng ebanghelyo. Paniwalaan natin ito na kung makikita natin ang salita ng Diyos ay sumusulong at lumalaganap, isang paraan ay ang pananalangin. Again, remember, Paul as an apostle knows that he carries with him full apostolic authority. He can preach with authority. He can preach with power, the kind of authority that we no longer have. So Paul can be assured of that, yet for all that, Paul demonstrates his esteem for believers' intercession for the ministry of the word. And we need to emulate Paul's attitude of esteeming the place of prayer in the ministry of the word. And what is the place of prayer? What can the word do as far as the word is concerned? Two things. First, prayers generate response to the word. Ang mga panalangin ay namumunga ng pagtugon sa salita. Prayers generate response to the word. And secondly, prayers overcome hindrance to the word. Ang mga panalangin ay nananaig sa mga sagabal sa salita. Ang dalawang bagay na ito ay makikita natin sa laman ng panalangin hiling ni Apostol Pablo. First of all, prayers generate response to the word. Listen to Paul's request that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Hinihiling niya na ang salita ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng kanilang panalangin ay lumaganap ng mabilis at maparangalan kung paano ito nangyari sa mga taga-Tesalonica. Now, the word for speed ahead is the simple verb for running with stress on it being fast. Now, you may imagine that Paul is thinking here in terms of numerical increase. Well, not so. The next word shows that Paul is not thinking of mere external numerical result because the response he is seeking is that the word be honored. That's the response that Paul is seeking among those who will listen to that word. He wants the prayers of the Thessalonian church so that there might be a result in which the word is honored. And Apostle Paul then points to the similar result in Thessalonica as it happened among you. Now that implies that what happened in Thessalonica as far as positive result of the word is concerned is an answer to prayer. Alam ni Pablo na may mga nanalangin para sa kanya nang siya ay pumunta sa Thessalonica at may record tayo niyan sa Book of Acts chapter 18 at doon ay alam ni Pablo pumunta siya roon na may panalangin ng mga kapatiran at namunga. At ang sinasabi niya rito ay kung anong nangyari sa inyo na naparangalan ng salita ng Diyos, bunga ng sagot ng Diyos sa panalangin, gayon din naman kayo ngayon, ipanalangin ninyo ang aking misyon ng ebanghelyo sa iba't ibang dako. Now, one thing we learn here is that God delights to hear prayer for conversion to accompany the ministry of the word. Nalulugod ang Diyos na makinig ng panalangin para sa kaligtasan na bunga ng ministeryo ng salita ng Diyos. God delights to hear prayer for conversion to accompany the ministry of the word. Now, let me make myself clear. Prayers alone do not convert without the word. And if I may go another step, the world may convert without prayer. But again, we do not cancel the means and leave to the fact that God can do something sovereignly. God has ordained preaching as the primary means for the conversion of the lost. You must hear. If you will be converted, kinakailangan pakinggan mo ang salita ng Diyos. Ang pananampalataya raw ay nanggagaling sa pakikinig ng salita ng Diyos. Kung nakakapakinig ka ng salita ng Diyos, binigyan ka ng isang pagpapala na wala ang marami. At kung yan ay sasayangin mo't palalampasin lamang, nakakalagim isipin ang kahinatnan na ng isang taong nakapakinig at pagkatapos ay pinalampas ang mensahe ng Ebanghelyo. Ito ang itinakdang kasangkapan ng Diyos para magligtas ng mga makasalanan, pakikinig ng salita ng Diyos. But I must add immediately, He ordained that to accompany the word with power, the church, Christians, must intercede for the word. We see this, for example, in the various pieces of the Christian armor that Paul explains in Ephesians 6:12 following. The only piece in the armor that is offensive, meaning ito yung lumalaban talaga, ay anong sabi niya? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's our weapon. But he immediately followed this up with these words, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The word is not intended to function all by itself. It is to be handled with praying at all times. God delights to empower His word in response to the prayers of His people. God delights to empower the pulpit of a praying church. And so I appeal to you, brethren, be not satisfied merely that you can be confident that the church has a faithful pulpit. We need a praying people. Don't just be thankful for a faithful pulpit. We need a faithfully attended prayer meeting. The two are linked. Listen to Paul in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men. Why is Paul asking such a prayer? Listen to him in verse 3. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for all people. God desires all people to be saved. Now somebody might say and try to be a smart, alecky kind of inquirer that you will often have in conferences. And he may say, God is sovereign. He will save whoever he wants to save without your prayers or mine. But that's playing footloose with Scripture. If I believe in Scripture, I will accept what God says about His desire to save all men. No ifs or buts. But I will also accept that the means for that realization is that He expects the church, He expects His people to be in prayer. So we do not leave it to circumstances. We do not leave it to luck. One of the juicy tales of Enrile was during the 1964 Nacionalista Party contest for nomination for the presidential candidate, in which Marcos, together with five other candidates, including Jokno, Salonga, and others, were contesting it. And Enrile was the campaign manager, and he did it so well that Marcos won by the number. His lead was 777. And from that time on, Marcos has had a superstition for the number 7. Everything, any big decision must be by the number 7. Well, one date overextended the number 7. Do you know that martial law was actually declared September 22? But Marcos didn't want it to appear that it was September 22, and so from our elementary school, we have been taught that martial law was declared September 21, just to make it divisible by 7. So even a genius like Marcos has his superstitions how to get things done. No, we don't go by superstition. We accept what God says. God says, pray. You pray because I have this desire for men to be saved. Then let us invade the gates of heaven with our prayers. The challenge, let us earnestly pray for specific conversion in the ministry of the word. That's what Paul himself does. Listen to Romans 10:1. Brothers or brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. What makes this interesting is that it is right in the middle of the section full of God's sovereign decree. Whom he has chosen, to whom he shall have mercy, he shall have mercy. And whom he hardens, he hardens. That's sovereign decree. And every time I read those words, my hair stand on end in awe of the sovereignty of God. And yet in the middle of all that, Paul could say, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Paul obviously does not see the glorious truth of election deterring earnest intercession for the lost. Walang pagsasalungat para kay Pablo na ang Diyos na soberano ay humirang ng kanyang mga ililigtas. Totoo iyon. Kahabagan niya kung sino ang gusto niyang kahabagan. Subalit, hindi ito naging dahilan para kay Pablo na maging matabang sa kanyang panalangin. Hindi ito formal na panalangin lamang. Ang sabi niya, my heart's desire, and the desire translates into prayer. I warn you, it is an extreme attitude. When anybody says by attitude or by words, God, you are sovereign, so get on with your business of saving whoever it is you have chosen in eternity past. My prayers will make no difference. That is an extreme. To hold to election without pleading is wrong. So we must combine the two. Desiring specific people you want to be saved and praying for them. So let us attend the ministry of the word in this church with prayer. Be that ministry is in the pulpit, in print, by air, by multimedia, Bible study, prison, students. And let us ask ourselves, if we are attending to this ministry, are we attending to our closet? This is a challenge that all of us who use the word, is it linked with prayer? I commend the idea of having an agreed time of prayer done by the RR committee, and that's very good. But that's not the first. Edwards was the first. Jonathan Edwards published in 1744 a book with the title A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement for prayer for Revival. It was largely ignored in his own country, in America. But in Scotland, it was taken seriously, and there was revival under the ministry of Ebenezer Erskine. Let us have that, brethren, that earnest pleading that God will attend the word with visitation of grace upon the lost for their conversion. Prayers generate response to the word. Secondly, prayers overcome hindrance to the word. Again, listen to Paul's request that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. So kasama sa kanyang hiniling sa panalangin ay mailigtas sila sa mga masasama, mga kasalanan ng tao dahil lang sa wala silang pananampalataya. And we know from Paul's personal history in his missionary journeys that this is not an empty threat. He really struggled with such people. When he was summarizing to Paul in the last instance the ministry that he has gone through, listen to his words in 2 Timothy 3:11. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. It is telling us, yes, there are hindrances to the ministry of the word, but those hindrances should challenge us, should challenge the church to prayer. Paul's prayer request proves that he was not foolhardy in his ministry. He surveyed potential dangers. Tiningnan niya, pinag-aralan niya anong mga maaring peligro sa lugar na kanyang pupuntahan. And there are times when wisdom dictates that we pass on to a safer opportunity of ministry. On the other hand, there are times when commitment leads us to an opportunity that is fraught with hindrance and even danger. One of his prayer requests in Romans 15:30 was, strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. He's referring to Jewish unbelievers who oppose the faith. Now, one may wonder, did not Paul end up a prisoner in Rome? And ultimately, he was executed. What happened? Was Paul's prayers, were the church's intercessions not answered? Well, Paul himself did not see that as an answered prayer. As he saw it, his very imprisonment became the means to advance the word. Listen to Philippians 1:14. Most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So it is about the advance of the word despite hindrances. And we will have to face that. We may not have the persecution of the kind that Paul faced. It may not be his kind of dangers, but we do have hindrances. Perhaps in your place where you are seeking to be a witness, there are hindrances. Perhaps the hindrance to you is fear of insults, fear of contempt, or perhaps real threat in terms of career harm or otherwise. Well, in God's wisdom, the ministry of the word will never be smooth sailing. A smooth sailing ministry is a formula for prayerlessness. 2012, you know, is the 60th year of James Bond. You know, that suave English spy who shoots people left and right while cavorting with women on the side. Well, sometimes you want to deal with hindrances like that, but it's not for us. Instead, God calls us not to the skill of the gun, but rather in the posture of weakness. Praying. Have you ever thought of it? Praying is a posture of weakness, a posture of helplessness. It's better to hold a gun. It's better to see the resources that we have and see how we can meet the predicament. But God's call is first assume the posture of weakness. Ang unang tawag ng Diyos sa atin kapag kaharap natin ang mga sagabal ay hindi yung tingnan natin yung lakas natin, sukatin natin yung ating mga kasangkapan. Ang unang panawagan sa atin ay angkinin mo ang postura ng kahinaan. That's the call. And the challenge is believe in the power of the prayer-hearing God to turn hindrances to His purpose. Maniwala tayo, manalig tayo sa kapangyarihan ng Diyos na nakikinig sa panalangin na gamitin maging ang sagabal para sa kanyang layunin. I always am careful talking about the power of prayer. There is a sense in which we can talk about that, but hearing people talk about their power of prayer dismays me. There is power in prayer, not because of the prayer itself. Remember again, it is a posture of weakness. There is power in it because of the power of the prayer hearing God. And that's what we are tapping upon. And this is where we need to be so obsessed, if I may use that word positively, be obsessed with the word, that no matter the hindrances, we will go on with it, attending it with prayer, believing it will triumph. Listen to Paul a few weeks before he had to be executed by the Roman government. power, 2 Timothy 2:8 and 9. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Can you believe this man? He was there in the lonely dungeon of a Roman prison awaiting execution in chains, yet his sense of triumph is that the word of God is not chained. What he has begun, others were now continuing, and it will see the spread of the Christian gospel throughout Europe and then the world. This is a man so enthralled with the word of God to the point of death. He welcomes death as it turns to unleashing of the power of the word of God. And even there in prison, all that he could do was pray. And pray he did, and he believed that the word cannot be chained. And let hindrances come in whatever form, we will turn to our prayer hearing God, who knows how to unleash the word in the face of persecution, prison, dangers, even ultimately death. Paul is not a fearless man. He confessed his fears. He said in 2 Corinthians 7:5, when we come to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. This is Paul speaking. He had his fears. That's why I like what somebody said of courage. Courage is cowardice that has said its prayer. Hindi walang takot itong si Pablo. Pero tao siyang sa kabila ng takot, siya'y nananalangin. So what those hindrances are? Sometimes those hindrances may be within the body of the brethren. And it is also prayer that will meet it. It is when prayer request is natural that we address some of those relational issues and conflicts and kinks in the body of Christ. When prayer requesting is natural, backbiting will not be natural. When people seek each other's prayer, it will be hard to entertain gossip. And those are hindrances within the body. So we ask ourselves that question, what are those hindrances? Prayers are effective to overcome those hindrances. We have our God who is in control even of the hindrances. As a matter of fact, there may be instances it was God who sent those hindrances just to challenge us to pray. There are times when it is Satan. For Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Satan hindered us. But either it is sourced from God or from Satan, God is sovereign, God is wise. He invites us to pray amidst our fears and anxieties. Let us be mindful to make prayer requests. Let us be careful speaking of being powerful in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer, not because of the prayer itself, but because in the posture of weakness, we are tapping into the power of God. And the one Puritan was right when he said, what a man is on his knees, that is what he is, and no more. We may want to believe what we are in our office is what we are. What we are as adulated by men is what we are. No, a man on his knees. What a man is on his knees, that is what he is. And no more. So we have the word. It is powerful. But when the church is in the posture of weakness, that's when the word is unleashed more in its power. So as we have our reforming conference tomorrow, I believe that we all agree that what will tap upon the power of God to bless it is that God's people are praying. Let us sing our last hymn. O Zion, haste, publish glad tidings. This is about missions. But for mission to be effective. As verse 4 says, give of your sons to bear the message glorious. Give of your wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out your soul for them in prayer victorious. O Zion, haste to bring the brighter day. Let us heed this call. Pour out your soul in prayer for the mission of the gospel. Let's close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami, dakila naming Diyos at Ama, sa katotohanan na ipinamalas mo sa amin ngayon mula sa kahilingan ni Apostol Pablo ng panalangin para sa salita. Pinapakita rito ang pagdurugtong ng bisa ng salita sa misyon ng Ebanghelyo at ang pananalangin ng Iglesia, ang pananalangin ng iyong mga lingkod. At kung ito ay pinagdugtong, wala kaming karapatan at hindi namin maaring gamitin ang iba pang mga doktrinang pinaniniwalaan namin upang putulin ang pagkakarugtong ng panalangin at ng misyon ng Ebanghelyo. So help us as a church to learn that prayer is an essential key to the expansion of the gospel mission. Because by prayers, response to the word is generated. You delight to listen to your people pray for conversion. And grant, O Lord, that we would not allow our belief in the awesome doctrine of your sovereignty and election grace, that it will not deter us from doing what Paul has stated, our heart's desire and prayer to God for people we love is that they may be saved. May we not come to any point of prayerlessness on the pretext of your sovereignty. Grant that we may truly pray for the conversion of the people who are dear to us and continue praying to them with the revelation of your word that you desire all men to be saved. Not only do prayers generate response, prayers overcome hindrance, and there are hindrances that beset us in the pursuit of the mission of the gospel. Coming from the outside, it may be coming on the inside, but wherever it is, make us to use these hindrances to challenge ourselves to pray. And by praying, we acknowledge that you are the sovereign, the powerful God. And we assume prayer in the posture of weakness because it is in that posture that we can tap upon your power. So make us a praying church. Make us praying men and women. Make us those who use the word to be first men and women who are in the closet before in the public sharing. So grant that this church will be a praying church so that the word may speed ahead. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.